What do I do if I have no idea what I want to do with my life? When I'm in the middle of my career and realize my work doesn't have meaning or purpose to me anymore? How do we tell our friends and family that we want to completely change our career? Where should we start in making such a big life change? And how can I know what to change careers to? This podcast was created to answer these very questions. My name is Travis Robinson, and you're listening to The Everyday Worker. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Everyday Worker. Anita, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Travis. I'm really happy to be here today.
Yes. How have you been doing? I only have you for one day this week, sadly.
Yeah, thank you. Things are busy. But, you know, life is good. I can't complain, really. We just got past Halloween, right? And all the excitement of Halloween. And so now we're in November. So it's kind of, this is always a crunch month for me. I always get that moment. It only happens right in November for me where I get that moment of, oh gosh, we're almost the end of the year. I better hurry up and finish these things, right?
Yeah.
So I think November is a very big crunch month for me. Yeah.
Even though when you think about it, nothing changes when the new year comes, right?
Yeah. I used to tell my team this all the time near the Christmas vacations because I worked actually in a situation where we shut down for 2 weeks between Christmas and New Year's almost every year, depending a little bit how the holidays fell. But and I would always, like, when I would see people freaking out, I'd always say, like, don't get so stressed about self-imposed deadlines, you know? Yeah. Like, the work will be there when we come back, I promise. And, you know, like, if this stuff isn't really priority, like, let's not add, you know, additional stress. Yeah. So it's true. But I think because in my mind, December only has, like, 2 weeks in my mind. And so I somehow feel like, whoa, we have to hurry here. So just trying to get a lot of stuff done. How about you? How you doing?
Yeah, I've been busy. I think I've talked about this on the podcast quite a bit that, you know, this whole year has been my own personal journey as well. And I love doing career coaching and I hope to continue to do it. But I've been actually implementing a lot of the very things that I go over with my own clients and implementing that in my own life. And, you know, last week I had the opportunity to go and visit a guy's work that I just met on LinkedIn, and he's an engineer. And, I first had a phone call with him. We just hit it off and, got along really well. And he happens to live pretty close to me. And so I went to his work and just chatted with him some more there and got to know him a little bit more. And it was good. It was, eye-opening a little bit. But then I also got connected with another company, and I reached out to a HR rep on LinkedIn, and my intention was just to ask him some questions about the culture of the company and get to know him a little bit. But when we got on our phone call, he kind of just straight up turned it into an interview. So I was not expecting that. I felt a little off guard, but that's okay. I think it went all right.
Well, and you were probably your most natural self, so that's good.
Yeah.
Kind of perfectly leads us into what we wanted to talk a little bit about today. No,
it is. It is. Yeah. And I think this our topic today is perfect too, because at the end of the year, it's a great time to talk with people. You got Thanksgiving coming up. If you celebrate Thanksgiving, you got Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever. There's lots of holidays and stuff coming up where people are typically gathering. And that's kind of a little bit of something we want to talk about today, is talking with people or putting yourself out there a little bit more.
Exactly. So I'll just maybe start just by explaining why we kind of got to this. I think we were talking about when people feel frustrated in a job, you know, you can basically go one of two ways. I mean, at least that's how I see it in my mind. It's like, either you can, you know, like you're feeling frustrated and you can just kind of sit there and not do anything. And the truth of the matter is, if you do that, like next year, you're in the same spot, right? And chances are the situation has actually gotten worse because you've actually become more frustrated and you can actually go into depression and you have no energy to do anything about it, which is a really difficult place to be. Or you can actually try to get excited and get moving and start to experiment. Because once you start to experiment, you can like learn that change is normal and it's a good thing and it's a manageable thing. And so just to share with those people out there listening, you and I were talking about how this can be a really difficult step for people because, you know, first of all, it's a little bit about knowing how to implement this change. Like, how can you really go about doing it? And then the second side is kind of like mentally speaking, like, how can you kind of gear yourself up for that, right? And get motivated and not just stay stuck. So I think it was interesting because I think you had a lot of great ideas about how people can actually start making the moves. And so I wanted to turn the tables on you today and actually ask you a little bit because you and I are have had different experiences in corporate. I've had a very long experience in corporate, and I think that I can represent kind of the person who's been in a corporate position for a longer time, and I can kind of be the devil's advocate, let's say, on some of the stuff that you're going to propose. If you're up for the challenge, the sparring, I think it could be a good way, and I think together we can help people kind of open up their minds to trying something new. So, so let me ask you then, if I was in a job and I was frustrated and I wanted to try something else because I knew that this job really wasn't for me, do you have a few ways that we can think about trying something else?
I do, yeah. So I'm very much a person who believes in action, and especially like you were talking about, of it's very easy to fall into a mindset of depression and anger and or frustration, whatever it is. And I think that comes when you feel like there's no opportunities in front of you, or you feel like you're kind of suffocating because things aren't happening or new things aren't happening in your life. And so taking action to me is the easiest way to have new experiences and to be able to open up new opportunities to you in your life. So here are some thoughts of how I've taken action in my own life and how you can as well. So number one is to connect with people on LinkedIn and have phone calls with them. And how I've implemented this in my life is if there's a job that I hear about or a company that seems really interesting to me, you can go on LinkedIn and you can search for that company or that job position and find people who are working in a capacity that seems interesting. And I just connect with them. And after they accept my connection, I send them a quick message and say, hey, you know, I saw that you're working at this company or this job and it seems really interesting. Could I have a short 15 or 20 minute phone call with you and just ask you some questions about your career? And oftentimes when I tell people to do this, they're kind of hesitant because they feel like they're interrupting someone's life, or they feel like, you know, they're going to be annoying people. But I think you would be very pleasantly surprised at how gracious people are to be able to offer help to someone, no matter where you're at in your life. And especially if you're taking, 20 minutes of their time, it's not a lot. And make sure you stick to that too. Don't say 20 minutes and then you go an hour and a half. Even if they're being super nice, try and stick to that time. But it's been really helpful and just meeting new people and seeing what new opportunities are out there in the world. So that would be my number one thing that I'd like to share. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, let me ask you because, I mean, I would be one of the people who this would be a harder thing for me to do because I would kind of, I mean, not now, but before when I was in corporate, I would have had a harder time doing this because I was in corporate for a long time. I had a high-level position, and that sounds a little funny for me. So can I just ask you, like, when you reach out and you make the ask and you say, you know, would you have just 20 minutes to have a brief call? I'd love to talk to you about your position. What happens when you get on the call? I mean, what kind of questions are you asking them?
Yeah.
Are you asking them specifics about their background, or are you asking about, look, this is my situation, could that fit? I mean, like, what kind of questions are you actually asking when you get into that situation?
Yeah, I think it depends on the person that I'm talking to and the intention that I have coming in. And I think that right there is a great question to ask yourself is, what would be most helpful for me to get out of this phone call? So, for example, I connected with a woman who works at McKinsey and Company, and her job position seemed interesting to me. And so for me, I wanted to learn about the job in general, and how she got to where she was. And so I was asking her questions about like what she does day to day and what she likes about it, what she doesn't like about it, what made her choose. Cause I think she had, if I remember right, she had made a career change, from being a teacher to, I don't even remember now actually what the industry was. It's quite a while ago, but she had made this pretty major career change, and she had gone back to school and gone to master's. And so it was a great opportunity for me to then also ask, what can I do as someone who wants to make a career change from engineering to your type of industry? What can I do to make that change? What are first steps that I could take? And so she was able to offer great advice on things that I could look into and basically point me in the right direction if I wanted to move into her industry. So it was a lot of kind of gathering information about her industry in general, and then also what I can do to move into that. But I've also had phone calls where I'm talking more about the company and kind of what the culture is, what type of people work there. And that's more specific, you know, if you're wanting to work at that company specifically. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of depends on your motives. In my workbook that you can download for free, I made a list of questions that you can ask. And I've said this before in the podcast that I literally have pulled up my own workbook when I'm preparing for a phone call, because sometimes you just need some help generating questions to ask. But one more thing that I'd like to share with that is, when you're in that phone call, the more prepared you can be knowing about yourself, the more the person can help you. And so not being afraid to share a little bit about you, because that person you're talking to, they could share all kinds of things. They have a lot of knowledge. They have a lot of experience in their industry. But the more you can share and say, like, I've learned that I like this, I don't like this, I've learned that these are my strengths, these are my weaknesses, you know, in your opinion about the little bit you know about me, like, would I fit into this role? Or would this be a good industry? And they might say, well, from what you've told me, and that they this has happened to me, they've said, well, from what you've told me, you know, maybe this job isn't exactly what you might like, but you could go check out these other jobs that seem like they might align more with what your interests are. And so then again, that opens up more opportunities for you to go and explore and talk to those people and in those other roles.
And I can see that that's actually like a huge shortcut. I mean, you're actually going straight to the source, and they're really guiding you in a great way, which allows you to go and save time on your own, right? Instead of having to talk to other people that, you know, if you weren't really well prepared. And I can see that that's like almost like a mini mentoring experience.
It is.
That they must feel flattered a little bit that you're reaching out to them. And, you know, as long as you are respecting their time, and I'm sure you follow up with a message to say thank you, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great option right now, especially because this is almost like the perfect time, because we're doing this during COVID. It's almost the perfect excuse to say, can we have a virtual coffee? I only need 20 minutes of your time. You know, I mean, it's actually a perfect kind of solution. And a lot of people are actually looking for connection during this time. Totally. So, you know, that sounds great. I think sometimes when we've kind of touched on that idea before, I always had the image of somebody going in and doing like an internship in a company. And I have a hard time imagining somebody doing that if they've reached a certain level in an organization. Totally. But that might be my own bias that says that. But
yeah,
I think it's most organizations actually don't lend themselves very well to that kind of a setup. Like, I'm bringing somebody along with me today. I mean, it sounds like you're bringing your kid to work day or that kind of thing. So, but I love the idea of reaching out to people and just, you know, having this like virtual coffee idea and And I think just from what you're saying in terms of being prepared, I can see where that would make a huge difference. So just like asking yourself before you get into that conversation, what am I doing here? Like, what do I really want to get out of this? So that you can almost like steer an interview. It's almost like steering an interview and having like a red thread that goes throughout so that you can get to the point. And maybe also even thinking about what are you going to say when you hang up, right? Like next steps, or like, is this it? Thank you very much. I appreciate that's it. You know, like, are you planning on the next step, or are you ending the relationship, you know, quote unquote. So, that sounds great.
Did I convince you?
Yeah. I think a virtual coffee is a very good idea. Yeah. I think to get a more in-depth look, you probably do have to spend more time or get some more feedback. Maybe, I guess we didn't really talk about it, but I guess you could also contact different people in different organizations, but for the same position, if you really think you're interested in it, and it could give you a good view from different angles about if that position is really something for you. Because we talked about that one of my sons is doing kind of these very short internships, and we definitely talked about the necessity of seeing it from like doing an internship from in different organizations to see it from different angles. So.
Yeah, that sounds good. I totally think that you're right. Because, I mean, even one of my clients, I remember when I told her about doing this, and she had set up some phone calls. And the first call that she had, she had told me this was a job that she thought she might be interested in. But when she had the call, she was kind of put off a little bit and said that she didn't really like the type of work environment or whatever that this guy was working in. And I said, okay, well, you know, don't give up on it yet. You know, go and talk to some other people, because every company does things differently, and everybody has different coworkers and work environment. And so, yeah, you're exactly right. You got to gather enough information, gather enough data points to then be able to make a decision on whether is it the career or is it the company, or maybe the person is just a pessimistic, cynical person.
Yeah. And you know, also different levels of education, different roles in the organization. Right. I mean, there's lots of different things that can be influenced there. Right. So,
yeah. So to me, this is like one of the easier ways. And what I mean by easier is, I know it's definitely out of a lot of people's comfort zone, but it doesn't cost money. Doesn't take a lot of time. Doesn't really even take a lot of effort. You just got to click connect with people and send them a quick message. And so it's, you know, it's not giving up time for doing an internship or volunteering somewhere or anything crazy like that. So,
well, and it sounds like if they get your workbook, you've already done a lot of the preparation work for people.
That is very true.
So yeah,
that is very true. Yeah. That workbook will definitely help prepare you for that.
Excellent.
So number two, so we got five things. Number two, join Facebook groups with people that you just genuinely enjoy to be with. And what I mean by that is, if you do have an interest in a certain topic or a certain hobby or whatever it is, join Facebook groups where people like to talk about that stuff. And you might think, well, how does that help me figure out my career or whatever? You got to kind of get out of that mindset. Because if you're always looking for people only from a strategic standpoint, then you're going to miss out on building a lot of great relationships with people who can connect you with other people who then will be more strategic to helping you figure out a career or move into a new industry. And so putting yourself in a place where you can just genuinely be with people that you're going to get along with, that you can build relationships with, that you already have something in common. Maybe they directly can't help you, but the chances that they might know someone within their network that can help you are a lot more likely. And so just getting out there, and Facebook is a great way. There's probably a Facebook group for just about anything.
Yeah.
And so finding a good Facebook group will really help you out.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't have a lot to add on that one, but what I have noticed myself is that Facebook groups are often named in a very weird way. They don't always include information about what the real topic of focus is. And so what I found is sometimes it's useful to actually ask in groups that you're in, if anybody else knows of groups like this that you're looking for. And often a lot of times people will share, oh, you should check out this one or that one. And that can also be a way, because if you're already in a group of people that you like, you know, it's kind of birds of a feather flock together idea. And so they can maybe share with you other groups that could also be interesting for you.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. I like that. And then number three, and this one is probably one of the easier out of all these, is to meet up or just connect with old friends. And that's something that I've been doing lately as well, as especially because I spend a lot of time on my computer. And so getting out and talking to someone face to face is nice. But just reconnecting with old friends, talking to them about how they're doing and sharing what's going on in your life. And what you're going through, and you know, maybe that you're tell them that you're thinking about making a career change, or what new industry you're interested in, and you just never know what's going to happen. And again, the purpose of all of these suggestions is to just broaden your circle of influence, to broaden your network, and bring more people into that network. Because the more people you can have, the more opportunities you're going to have in your life. What are your thoughts on connecting with old friends?
I think it's great. Actually, I love this one for a few different reasons. One is if you really are in a situation where you're unhappy, sometimes connecting with old friends will get you back connected to who you were, who you wanted to be. And kind of, so like on the one hand, it kind of changes you your situation emotionally so that you feel better. It helps you get reconnected to things that you haven't thought about for a long time, which kind of always sparks creativity, I think, when we're in a bad kind of funk. And then what I also love about connecting with old friends is, well, I think there's different kind of levels of friends. Let's say like connecting with people that we were really close to is a little bit different than connecting with, like, let's say people that we knew, you know, from a distance at college or whatever. But the funny thing is to realize where people have gone. So sometimes when you look at past classmates' evolutions, right, like it can be super interesting. And if you talk to close old friends, you know, these are people who know you. You can be honest about your situation. They usually like you. And so they actually are willing, like they immediately go to the place in their mind of how can I help this person out? And they actually are like, let me connect you with a friend of mine, a different person that I know who is in this situation. And I've had that happen multiple times and have actually gotten to be good friends with people that I've made a friend with through another friend as an adult. So, you know, like I think connecting with people that we've had in our past is a great way to kind of remember who we were, right? And it's also a way to expand our network going forward. So I think that's a great idea. And I mean, who doesn't have people in their life that they need to get back in contact with, right?
Totally.
So,
And yeah, even if you can't meet up in person, again, doing the virtual coffees is a great way, especially nowadays, everybody's kind of doing it. So it's not too weird. Number four is to try a new hobby or new sport or just try something new. You know, it might seem really simple, but when I really think about it, this one right here is what got me to where I am right now. Because without having started my podcast as just a hobby on the side when I was working as an engineer, then I probably would have never, you know, had like learned more about myself. I probably would have never had the confidence to drop out of my master's program. And I would have just kept going on my merry way, having my head down and hoping that I don't get too miserable in my life. And so having a new hobby, it provides you with opportunities to learn new skills and learn about yourself. And again, meet new people. You can, a lot of times cities will have get-togethers or communities where you can meet people that are in similar hobbies. And so have you ever taken advantage of this one, Anita, or done this before?
Yeah. So I was just, as you were talking about that, I was thinking about how in our lives, we probably have different moments where it's easier to start a new hobby than others. So there's probably this chunk in the middle of our lives where it's not that easy because we feel like we don't have a lot of time. We're so busy. There's so many demands on us. We've got maybe family or, and I'm just thinking like, that's exactly the time that you probably need to do that. Right. Yeah. So, and so for me, it was after I had my second child, I did a photography course, and it was pretty intense, actually, but I loved it. And we actually had homework from week to week. Mm. And that was, for me, a big wake-up call, because it was, I was like, wow, I'm enjoying this so much. It's crazy. I mean, I knew I didn't want to become a professional photographer. I mean, I think that was not the point, but it really gave me a creative outlet, and it put me in contact with people who had similar interests to me, which was also nice. I mean, we had very different family situations, let's say, but we all had this kind of interest in photography, which gave us something else to talk about. We didn't talk about our jobs. We didn't talk about our families. Like, we really were talking about the photography. So I think that's it's a good suggestion, because you decide what experience you're going to have with those people, how much you're going to share. And like, that's a perfect opportunity to stay away from complaining about your job that you don't like, but focus rather on, you know, I'm trying to explore different options, but I'm not really sure what it is yet. And, you know, sometimes like humans want to solve problems. That's kind of what the brain does. And so if you kind of share that you're looking for something else, or you're trying to figure out what you want to do, a lot of times people will give you great suggestions or great opportunities that you never would have had if you hadn't opened your mouth. So, yeah. So I love that idea. Yeah.
And to your point with, you know, I've had people say this to me before, like, what if you don't have time to be able to do a new hobby or to meet up with old friends or whatever? And my response to that is always, I'll use an analogy here, that oftentimes people, they say they're too busy to work out. And sometimes I feel like that too, where I'm like, oh, I've had a long day, and like, I need to get all this other stuff done. And so I don't have an hour to work out. And the problem is, I have 10 minutes to work out, but I don't have an hour to work out. But mm-hmm. in my mind, 10 minutes isn't long enough to really get a good workout in, so I don't do anything.
Yeah.
And it's funny how we kind of think that way, where we think, I need to do X amount of work in something to make it worthwhile. But if we can't do that, then we do nothing. And somehow that's better than doing 5 or 10 minutes of it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that same principle can be applied to doing a hobby, that maybe you don't have a whole lot of time to put into photography or whatever, but you know, what if you take your camera and go out for 10 minutes in the backyard and take some pictures? Nothing crazy, but 10 minutes, you know, I think most people can manage that. And it's just a little bit shift in mindset, that doing something is most likely usually going to be better than doing nothing.
Well, and I think that can apply to the other, you know, points that we've talked about up until now. I mean, you know, connecting with people, it doesn't have to be a major thing. Connect with one person a week, or join a Facebook group and maybe comment once, or, you know, or twice. But it doesn't mean that you have to spend your whole evening, you know, in the Facebook group. And same thing with meeting up with old friends, you know, like, it doesn't have to be something that you do all the time. But, you know, if you kind of space it out, it's totally manageable. So I think that's a perfect point, actually, for all of these. Just take baby steps if you have to, you know?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Don't psych yourself out.
Yeah. Before even getting started. Yeah.
So number five, and the last action that I think is really important to kind of wrap up everything that we've been talking about, is to ask yourself 5 whys of why you feel a certain way about something. So for example, if you're having a phone call that you met someone on LinkedIn, you're having a phone call and you're talking to them about their career or their industry, you're going to have certain feelings that come to your mind, that come to your thoughts when you're talking with them. And taking the time to write down, okay, I felt excited about the idea of working at this company. Okay, well, why? And then you say why you did, and then you ask yourself why again, and why, and you go through 5 whys to really get to the root core of what's causing those emotions inside of you. We've talked about this last week in a couple episodes of how emotions are really important in understanding what you want to do in your career and making that choice confidently. And so when you're doing all these things, make sure you take that time to journal and write down and really understand why you're enjoying the things that you're enjoying, or why you're not enjoying the things that you're not enjoying, either way. And it's going to teach you a lot about what you do like to do and what you don't like to do, who you like spending time with, who you don't like spending time with, those kinds of things.
I like this. I And here I just want to caution people, don't filter. This is my big thing, because we have these like gremlins, you know, that get in our mind that say like, I'm supposed to like this. I'm not supposed to like that. I'm not supposed to admit that I find this boring. I'm not supposed to admit, you know, that this is hard or whatever. And I mean, like, they're your thoughts. They're your feelings. They're yours to own. There's no judgment. You're the one who's writing it and reading it. Okay. So just make sure that you're being honest with yourself. And sometimes that requires really just like getting quiet and sitting with it for a minute and saying like, wait, why do I feel this way? Mm-hmm. You know, or what do I feel and why do I feel? So I think that's a great reminder about, you know, like getting really curious for yourself about your own experience, right?
Totally. Yeah. And I love that of not filtering. Cause yeah, it's so easy to think like, oh, I should be feeling this way about a certain thing, but just, yeah, really sitting with it and recognizing how you actually feel. Remember, nobody else is reading what you're writing.
I can't tell you how, as a coach, how often we see this, right? Mm-hmm. We often get input from people. I'm sure you have the same experience, Travis, totally. That people will give you some kind of like homework material that they've done, let's say, or they'll answer some kind of question. And then something will come out a little bit later, which is much more insightful. And, you know, like as a coach, we're sitting there thinking, that's really funny because they really skirted over that earlier. But like, this is a major thing, actually. So it's, and often I really do find that people don't realize for themselves that they filtered that. So, yeah. So try to be conscious of that. Right.
Totally.
It'll help you on your journey.
Yeah. So, you know, these are five things that I think are really powerful actions that you can start taking today if you choose to. You can connect with people on LinkedIn. You could join Facebook groups and meet people that you genuinely enjoy to be with. You can meet up with old friends, try a new hobby, and make sure that you're taking that time to ask yourself those five whys, why you are feeling the way that you're feeling. And make sure you do that because, you know, without going out there and actually trying new things, without talking with new people, you're just going to get stuck at your little desk in your little cubicle and keep sitting in your feelings of misery and depression. And nobody likes to be in that situation. So any last thoughts, Anita?
No, I was just thinking, you know, it's not a fun place to be. Sometimes it's hard to muster the energy, but as it's like with fitness, like as soon as you start working out, even a little bit, a tiny little bit will make you feel a lot better. Yeah. You'll feel like you've accomplished something. And every step that you take for yourself on your own journey of exploration for your career journey, I mean, it's time invested in yourself. So it's totally the best thing that you can do. So just get moving. Don't stay stuck. Get moving.
Yep. Awesome. Well, thanks for being with me today, Anita. And I hope this was helpful for you guys. You know, feel free to reach out to me or Anita and let us know what you think and how we can continue to help you in the future and provide more value too. So thanks for joining us and we'll see you in the next episode.
See you soon, everybody.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Everyday Worker. If you want to find more great content just like this to help you in your career change journey, go to everydayworker.com. There you'll find my blog, all my podcasts, and other free resources such as my Career Change Masterclass, where I share what's stopping you from switching to a fulfilling career and how you can overcome those challenges. Again, go to everydayworker.com to learn more.